All right. Well, why don't we turn our attention to the front now? And we're going to take some time to pray together. Today is the first Sunday of the month. I can't believe it's June already. Can you guys believe it? Yeah, we're in June. We're in the beginning of the summer season. During this month or during this summertime, a lot of people in our church end up traveling. They end up going back to their home countries. People end up visiting family. And some people, they end up coming to Taiwan, and they're here only for the summertime. And so during the summertime, it might feel a little bit like, you know, where's everyone? But at the same time, there's going to be a lot of new people coming and visiting and things like that. And so as we think about this, let's pray for those that are going back to their families. And actually, for some people in our church, they're going to be going back for good. We'll be doing some goodbyes for some of these people as the time comes. But let's pray that as people go back to their families, that they would be able to have a good time with their family. Sometimes being at home with your family is not so great. So let's pray that they would be able to go back and have a good time with their family, but also that as God's people, because some of us, we have family members that aren't believers, as God's people, that we would go back, and even to our believing family members, that we would be a source of encouragement, a source of light, a source of truth, that we would be able to talk with perhaps parents or siblings in a more loving and caring and patient kind of way, where we would be able to encourage them, be there for them, help them in different kinds of ways. And so why don't we pray for the people that are traveling, and pray that especially as they go back to their families, that we would be able to be a light for our families. Okay, and after a few moments, I'll close us in prayer today. As I mentioned in other times, we pray in different styles because we do have people that come from different parts of the world. Today we're going to practice a certain way of praying that I think many people prefer sometimes. So we're going to pray silently. Okay. But then when we pray silently, let's pray without any sound at all. Okay, so no whispers, no mouth moving, just complete silence. If there's a little bit of coughing and things like that, that's okay. Let's not judge one another. But let's pray silently, and then after a few moments, I'll close us in prayer. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much that you are God Almighty, that you are the powerful God that's working in your people's lives. God, you are working not only in individual lives, but you also work through families. And I thank you so much that for many people in our church, that they get to have the opportunity to be able to go back to their own families. And maybe for some people, that's a scary thought. Maybe for some, they're nervous about it. For some people, they're excited about it. But Lord, whatever feelings that we may have, Lord, I pray for our people that as we go back and traveling to our home countries to be with family, I do pray that you would allow them, us, to be a light, a source of your truth, a source of your love. May you use our words and our actions to be able to encourage the people that we meet. I pray, Lord, especially for those of us that have unbelieving family members, Lord, would you give us the wisdom to know what to say at the right time to be able to encourage them, perhaps to even bring them one step closer to you. And Lord, for those that do have family members that are believers, Lord, help us to go back and continue to share with them about all the wonderful things that you are doing in our lives and all the things that you're doing in Taiwan as well. And I pray, God, that we would be able to encourage our family members that do believe in you, that they would also understand that you are the God of this world and not just the God of one area. I pray, God, that you would use us in this wonderful way, even if we're not going back to our home countries, even if we're not going back to our families, even if we're staying here in Taiwan. Lord, I pray that you'd be working in all of our lives, that we would be able to be an encouragement and a source of joy and your truth to all the visitors that may be coming to Taiwan. And so, Father, I pray that you would do this wonderful work through all of your people that are a part of this church. And I pray that we would be able to continue to shine your light in this dark world. Lord, even if at times we may find it difficult, even if at times we feel overwhelmed by the darkness, but Lord, may your truth continue to shine forth, and may Jesus Christ, your name, be proclaimed through our lips. And I pray, Father, that as we look to your word now, that you would be the one teaching us and guiding us, even challenging us and strengthening us to be able to overcome any challenge. I pray, dear Lord, that you would teach us to be a part of what you are doing in this world and to do it for your glory. And so, Father, I pray that you would teach us now through your word. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, we are in June, and we are starting a new sermon series called June Insights. And I will actually be traveling myself. I will not be here starting next week, and I'll be gone for about a month. And so I've invited different guest speakers to come and come speak to us during this month of June. And we're going to be hearing about God's Word from different pastors and different preachers, and they're going to be sharing what God has placed on their heart. And so we're going to be getting different kinds of insights throughout this month of June. I did not plan what kind of thoughts that they were going to share. I did not plan what passages they were to preach through. And so I believe that God will be speaking to us through the preaching of his word through different people. And so I hope you guys are looking forward to hearing from these other guest speakers. Well, today I'm going to be sharing a sermon that is not the typical way that I would preach a sermon. It's actually pretty different from what I would normally do. And today what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be sharing a bit of my own story, a bit of my own testimony. And so it's going to be more story-like than a lot of explanation and thinking about our own lives. And so I do hope and pray that you guys will be encouraged by the sermon today. With that said, I want to introduce the title of today's sermon, which is God's Story, a Real K-Drama. Okay, so if you do not know, I am Korean. I do have Korean blood in me. I was born and raised in America, but I want to share about a bit of my family history. And so it's going to be about a real K-Drama. Okay, so why don't we turn our Bibles to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel is in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. If you have one of these Bibles from the outside, we're looking at page 738, 738. Again, it's Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. All right, this is the reading of God's Word. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's matter." Amen. This was the reading of God's word. Last year, I went to South Korea to attend a major conference called the Lausanne Congress. And it's a conference which was started by Billy Graham and John Stott in order to fulfill the Great Commission. The Great Commission comes from the Bible in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, where it says, where Jesus commands his disciples, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them everything that Jesus commanded them, and Jesus would be with them all the way to the end of the age. So we're supposed to go and make disciples. And so John Stott and Billy Graham got together and said, let's bring all the people that are pastors and scholars, people that are the head leaders of this world today that can talk about missions in this world. And so they gathered together, and they had a gathering together about 50 years ago. And they've met together only four times. This Lausanne Congress happened only four times, and last year was the fourth Congress. And so it only happens about 10 to 15 years, but these Lausanne Congresses have had a huge impact on the missions world today. Another passage that I want to bring up is Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And this is a passage that talks about how the gospel is going to be spread all around the world, and it's going to be a testimony about Jesus Christ. And as the gospel is spread all around the world, once it's done, that's when the end will come. Now, it's not to say that we know what year Jesus is going to come back. It's not to say that we know what month or what day that the end will come. But Jesus did say that you can see this sign of seeing the gospel go forth all around the world, and that will be a sign for us that the end is very near. Well, let me tell you, the gospel is going forth all around the world, and I do believe, as many Christians all throughout history have believed, that we are closer to the end than ever before. Right? It's true. It's true. We're always going to be closer to the end than ever before, and I have to state it that way just to make sure that it's still a true statement. One of the major themes about the Lausanne Congress last year was about letting the church declare and display together Jesus Christ, right? So declare and display Christ together. And so there's this idea about collaboration and bringing people together. And there's this idea that was brought up where we want to see Christians from everywhere being sent out to everywhere in this world. In the past, it was usually certain countries in this world that sent missionaries out. But now what we're seeing is that missionaries are being raised up all around the world. It doesn't matter what part of the world you're talking about. Missionaries are being raised up from all around the world, and they're being sent out all around the world. And so we need to be talking about collaborating together, working together, thinking together about how to continue to spread the gospel about Jesus Christ to the rest of the world. We are in a very important time in history where things are so uncertain, politically, economically, and socially. There are wars and rumors of wars. There's climate change and news of natural disasters. Things that are going on all around the world. And so I have to ask the question of all of you guys and anyone else that watches this online. Can we go on living the normal lives that we are with all that's going on? And I want to ask this question. Would you consider giving your life to a life of ministry, using your job, your skills, and your talents to see God's kingdom come? Will you be willing to do this? The main idea for today is that God is working in this world. He really is. So get involved in His story. Get involved in His story. God is doing an amazing work in this world. And so, what will your life be about? Again, the main idea is God is working in this world. So be involved in His story. The three points that we'll go through are, number one, God's work. Number two, His story, K-drama. And number three, get involved. So let's start with this first point here, God's work. As we look at our passage today, it comes at a time after the kingdom of Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom Israel and the southern kingdom Judah. And Israel was conquered, and so they were no more. And then the southern kingdom also was conquered, and so all of Israel was conquered. And then the people of Judah, they were exiled all the way to Babylon. And Daniel is talking about a time when the people were in Babylon in captivity. And Daniel himself, being an Israelite, he found himself captive, but also promoted to a position where he is called one of the wise men of Babylon. But then there's this infamous king named King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he didn't tell anyone what his dream was. And he challenged all the wise men, "Interpret my dream for me, but I'm not going to tell you what my dream was. You have to tell me what that dream is." And so all the wise men, they're complaining, "How can we tell you your dream if you don't tell us what it is?" And then the king said, "I'm going to kill all the wise men if no one is able to tell me what my dream is and interpret it for me. Because if I tell you, you could just make anything up. You're going to be lying to me. So I'm going to kill everyone." And they found Daniel, and Daniel said, "Why is the king so upset?" They explained things to him. And then Daniel, he went to God and he prayed. God, we need an answer. Tell us something about what King Nebuchadnezzar's dream is and tell us the interpretation, because you know everything. He prayed and God actually answered. God gave the answer. And so what we read today in the passage in Daniel was Daniel praising God for how great God is. And so here are some of the key points from today's passage. Verse 20, it talks about how God deserves praise for his omniscience, meaning that God knows everything. And so Daniel is praising God that he's a God that knows everything. In verse 21, he's praising God that God is omnipotent, that he's the one that has all power to be able to raise up kings and to bring down kings. He's able to raise up certain nations and bring down certain nations. Verse 21, he praises God that God reveals truth. Nobody knew what King Nebuchadnezzar's dream was, but the truth was now explained to Daniel. Verse 22, God knows what's in the dark. He's praising God that even those things that are hidden and secret, that God is able to reveal. It also tells us that God knows what's going on deep in our hearts as well. And so God knows what's in the dark, but also verse 22, God is the light, and he is able to bring light into those places of darkness. And verse 23, God deserves praise for his work. And so we see Daniel praising God for the fact that not only was the dream told to him, God revealed it to him, but also the interpretation of that dream. And so what we find is that God worked back then through Daniel to reveal truth even to the most powerful authority, right? Even to the person that had the greatest power during that time, God worked through Daniel to reveal truth to even a person that's a powerful person in the world. Similarly, God continues to work today through individuals to bring truth to this broken world. And what is this truth? God works through people, even people like you possibly. God is able to work through you to reveal to other people in this broken world that God exists, that we have fallen away from God, that there is a separation from the source of life. There is a separation from the source of joy and peace. But because of God's love, the truth is that Jesus Christ came, the perfect human being who is God himself. He came, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, for our evils, and he made it possible that when we put our trust in him, that we can be reunited with God, that we can actually have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because after he died, he did rise from the dead. He did rise again. And there is a possibility of victory over sin and over death. This is the good news that we're proclaiming. And God is able to use people like you to proclaim truth in this world, even to people that are in powerful places. And because God is working in this world, the call for today is to get involved in what God is doing, because He is working. He has worked all throughout history. And we did not live in the past, but you know what? We live in today's world, in this particular time, with all the things that are going on in this world. God has called His people, each and every one of you, to be involved in what He is doing. This is our time. This is our time. And so our lives are not just about us and how we can live a good life in our jobs and raise up a good family. Our lives are about living for Jesus Christ, because He is coming back. I want to share with you about how God has worked in the past and why I'm here today. Growing up, or rather, let me start with, the reason why I mentioned Lausanne Congress is because last year when I went, it was in South Korea, and they did a particular presentation about Korea's history, especially with Christianity. And I watched that, and I had no particular, at first I was watching it and I was thinking, oh gosh, here we go again with Koreans being so show-offy, and you know, that's what I was thinking, right? And, oh, why are we talking about Korean history? It's not that great. But then it started to cause me to think. And I also attended a workshop that was specifically focused on North Korea. And I started to think about it. And I believe that God led me to have some thoughts that's actually important to think about why I am here today. Growing up, my dad told me just a little bit about my family's history. And I didn't know much about my family's history. But my father told me he was born in northern part of Korea that we call North Korea, in the province right next to Pyongyang, the capital city of North Korea. My dad is this baby right here. That's my dad. My grandfather, whom I never met because he died when I wasn't even born yet, my grandmother, and then my dad's siblings, his older sister, and then older brother, and then oldest sister. There's a huge gap between their ages. And when my dad was born, it was in 1947. The Korean War broke out in 1950. My dad and his family, they ended up fleeing down to South Korea as refugees. My dad grew up very poor in South Korea. That's about how much I knew. The only other thing that I knew was that my father's family were all Christians. They're all Christians. There were Christians in North Korea, and my family was a Christian family. Well, during the time at Lausanne, I heard a bit of, I thought more about my own family's history. And you guys see on the map here, it's Pyongyang, and my family, my dad's family came from this area right here. This is Pyongyang, and there's a big province there called Hwanghae-do. And my dad's family was from that particular area. By the way, the distance from here to Pyongyang is about from here to maybe about Ilan. It's about that distance. Okay. When they did the presentation about the Korean revival, they talked about how there was this great Korean revival in 1907, the Pyongyang revival. The revival started in North Korea, and it spread all around Korea. And while they were talking about the Pyongyang revival, one of the main names that was mentioned, there's a bunch of different names that were mentioned, but one of the names that were mentioned was a guy named Kim Ik-do. And Kim Ik-do, I looked it up online because his last name was Kim, and I found out that actually we're related. We're part of the same ancestral family. And I know that because of my last name, it's not just Kim, but every Korean family has a last name, and then it's associated with a certain part of Korea so that you know what part of Korea you're from and what part, what kind of Kim you are. And so, is that funny? Okay. So if you want to hear, I'm from a group called the Cheongpung Kim. And this guy, Kim Ik-du, was part of the Cheongpung Kim family. I also found out, so I was a little bit more curious, and we have this chat group with my family members on my dad's side. I have my aunt, my great aunt, my cousins who live in Korea right now that grew up with my grandmother. And so I started asking them all the questions about our family. Who is this Kim Ik-du person? Are we related to this person? How is our family connected with the Pyongyang revival? Were we at all? How far away were we from the Pyongyang revivals? And so I started asking all these questions, and some of the things that I found out was very interesting. My grandfather's grandmother, okay, so my grandfather's grandmother was actually a village witch doctor, but came to believe in Jesus Christ, and when she believed, she burned up all her shrines, and they had this big fire in the middle of the town, and they burned up her shrines. And she says that she remembers when the shrines were burning up, that she saw demons on top of the flames and they were crying out. I don't know if it's true or not, but then that's my grandfather's grandmother's testimony. Now, my great grandmother, which is my grandfather's mother, I believe. My great-grandmother actually attended the Pyongyang revival as a child. And she was suffering from some type of sickness during that time. And her testimony is that when she went to the Pyongyang revival, that she actually experienced healing. You know, it's interesting because in Taiwan today, whenever people get sick, they say, I shouldn't go to church so that I don't infect other people. And there's something good about that thinking. But then in the past, it was, you go to church to receive healing. That's what my great-grandmother experienced. This picture is a picture of my grandfather's eldership ordination in a Presbyterian church in North Korea. You see the date down here, it's in 1949. So my grandfather was an elder in the church. But what I also found out was that his father, so my great-grandfather, my great-grandfather was also an elder. This is him on the bottom left. That's my great-grandfather. And he, as an elder, because so many people were fleeing the country during that time, he had the responsibility of actually pastoring three churches. And so from early morning to late at night, he would go to one church, preach, and then travel a certain distance, go to the next church and preach, and then travel another distance and preach. And he would do that every single week, and throughout the week he would be visiting different people. Now, regarding my great-grandfather right here, and by the way, these other people are his brothers. When the Korean War broke out in 1950, according to my aunt, my grandfather, so not this person, this is my great-grandfather, my grandfather took his family, my dad included, and fled the country and went down to South Korea. After the war had been going on for some time, my grandfather, my aunt, and my uncle, okay, so the two oldest children with my grandfather, made a trip back up to his father, back up to this person who was still in North Korea while the war was going on. And my grandfather, his son, asked him, Please come with us. Please come back to the south with us. Flee away and be safe. And my great-grandfather responded by saying, and this is according to my aunt, he said, "I have been given the responsibility to care for these three churches. So how can I leave and go on living myself and leave these behind?" And as they left him behind, they saw him by the front gates praying. And that was the last image that they saw of him. I'm here today because God brought some missionaries to Korea, and they preached the gospel. They spoke about what was true. God worked in people's lives to believe in him, and there was a Pyongyang revival. God worked in a powerful way so that my family could be saved. And God preserved this family, this faith in my family, so that I could come to believe too. And that's why, through all the things that have happened, I'm able to stand here before you today to teach and preach about our Lord Jesus Christ. Our God is a God who saves. Our God is a God of salvation. He's the one that changes hearts. He's the one that works powerfully through people. He's the one who is able to work through you. And he's the one that will work through you. You just need to be willing to be involved in what God is doing. Because he is creating his story. History is his story. And so once again, God is working in this world. So get involved in his story. Now, I don't mean that you have to give up your jobs per se. I don't necessarily mean that you have to give up your life the way that you're living right now. But understand that being involved in what God is doing means that you understand that God has given you a purpose to live. It's not just to live like everyone else in this world. It's not just to survive and try to make sure that you have enough money to live the next day, to have a nice family. That's not what this life is about. God brings us to a place so that we can be a light in that place. God takes us through difficult circumstances so that we can be a light in those difficult circumstances. God may allow war to happen around us so that we can be a light in that difficult time. So get involved in what God is doing, because he is working. He is working in this world. Jesus has said that if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If anyone wants to follow Jesus, let him deny himself. Stop thinking that this life is about you. Stop thinking that this life is about your job and your career and your retirement and your children, and your family. This life is not about just what we want, but it's about what God is doing and what he is doing through our lives, through our families, through our workplaces, through us. God is working. If anyone should come after, would follow Jesus, we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross, be willing to face any challenge, even to the point of death, even, and follow Jesus. Now, this may sound a bit scary for some of you. And again, I'm not saying that you have to become a pastor or a missionary. Because God can use you. You can be involved in God's work even through your job right now. Even in your neighborhood right now. Even as a parent to your children. God can use you for His purposes. But with that said, maybe God is calling you to be a missionary. Maybe God is calling you to become a pastor. And we've just never thought about that. And some of us, we have a lot of doubts, a lot of questions. What about my job? What about, will I be able to have enough money to survive? What about my family? And we have all these doubts that may go through our minds where we might say, nope, that life is not for me. Being involved in God's work is not for me. But when we think in this kind of way, when we think God has a purpose for me, but no, I don't think I'm going to be involved in that because I need to think about my family, I need to think about my career, I need to think about my life. When we think in this way, we're forgetting what God has done for us. We're forgetting what Jesus has said. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 33, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Don't be anxious about these things. For the Gentiles, the unbelievers, seek after all these things. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. God knows already. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows your difficulties and the things that you're anxious about. Your Father, your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Don't be anxious, but rather seek His kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Everything that you're looking for in life will be provided for you through Jesus Christ. Even if it means that you lose your job, even if it means that you lose your life, Jesus is able to give you everything that you're looking for deep in your heart, because it's not about the job. It's not about having a good family. It's not about that kind of stuff. There's deeper wants that we have in our hearts, and God is able to provide for all that. You see, often we fall away. Often we forget about how God cares about us, how God is able to work through us. Often we forget about God's purpose for our lives and we deny Him. We don't deny ourselves, we deny Him. And we go on living our lives. But you see, our God is a God who saves. This is from Isaiah, or from Psalm 68. Our God is a God who saves. And because He loves you so much, He won't let you wander off so far. He'll continue to bring you back. It says, from the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. The Lord will work in a powerful way to save His people. And God will work through you to save others as well. Remember, Daniel, all he did was make himself available. And God used him to become a messenger, even to a king. God's desire is to use you for His kingdom. And we might fail. There will be times that we do fail. But what we can trust in is that He will accomplish His work through you. And so even if we fail, it's okay. God will accomplish His work through you. We just need to make ourselves available. This picture here is a picture of an event that was held for my great-grandmother. She was known to be a very, very gracious mother, a friend, an aunt, and all these people that are gathered here. And you might be wondering why there's Chinese characters here. It's because back then, a lot of Korean people, they did use Chinese characters still. My grandmother what my great grandmother was such a wonderful believer, such a wonderful Christian, that her children wanted to put on this huge event, almost like a Mother's Day, and invited all of our family members that have the same last name. And they wanted to honor their mom. All the cousins and aunts and uncles, they were all invited. And they were all there honoring my great-grandmother. But when I look at this picture that my dad sent to me, the thing that I think about is that most of them, my family, most likely did not make it out of North Korea. And their descendants, my family, probably still live there in North Korea. They are either facing persecution or they do not know the Lord. And I heard last year from the people that are focused on North Korean ministry that South Koreans have a really hard time going into North Korea. And Americans are banned from going into North Korea right now. So even if I wanted to, I can't go to that place to share the gospel to the people that are there. So I plead with you who are able to go, would you please consider whether the Lord is calling you to minister to those in North Korea? I'd like to speak to specific groups of people because I know that there are a ton of missionaries being sent out from certain countries that are able to go into North Korea. I want to first of all speak to the Brazilians. And I know that in our church we don't have many Brazilians. But I want to speak to you that are listening online. And brothers and sisters, please send it to your Brazilian friends. And I apologize for all of my bad mispronunciations and bad pronunciations. But I want to speak to you Brazilians. Queridos irmãos e irmãs, quero fazer pedido do fundo do meu coração. Considerem ir à terra do meu pai. Ainda há muitos lá que precisam ouvir as boas novas de Jesus Cristo. Eu mesmo não posso ir, mas peço a vocês, com todo carinho e urgência, que orem, considerem, e se Deus tocar em seus corações, que se disponham a ir. I want to speak to those brothers and sisters that are from mainland China.
亲爱的弟兄姊妹们, 我想向你们发出一个诚恳的邀请, 请你们考虑前往我父亲的故乡, 那里仍有许多人未曾听闻耶稣基督救恩的好消息。 他们正等着有人把这盼望带到他们当中。我自己无法前往，但我满心恳切地请求你们为此祷告、思想，并愿意顺服神的带领，甘心乐意地踏上这条蒙福之路。
Indonesian brothers and sisters, I'm going to do my best. But you're able to go.
Saudara saudari yang terkasih dalam Tuhan, saya ingin mengajak kalian untuk merenungkan satu hal. Maukah kalian mempertimbangkan pergi ke tanah leluhur ayah saya. Masih banyak jiwa di sana yang belum pernah mendengar kabar baik tentang Yesus Kristus. Saya sendiri tidak bisa pergi, maka dengan segala kerendahan hati, saya memohon kepada kalian untuk mempertimbangkannya.
Dear brothers and sisters, this is what I said. I want to make a request from the bottom of my heart. Consider going to my father's homeland. There are still many there who need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. I cannot go myself, but I ask you, with all affection and urgency, to pray, consider, and if God touches your heart, be willing to go. I want to just leave you guys with just a couple thoughts to consider. Consider attending Urbana, which is a missions conference that's happening in Arizona at the end of this year. Look up Urbana. I believe it's urbana.org. But look for Urbana 25. Just look up Urbana Christian Conference, and you'll be able to see it. It is expensive, but I want to ask you to consider going. It's specifically geared towards people that are 17 to 28, 29 years old. So please consider attending Urbana in Arizona. Also, consider meeting and helping out with the KCM team that's coming in July. There's going to be a team coming this July, and they're here for a short-term mission trip. And so consider leaving aside some time during the month of July to be able to spend time with them and help them in the ministry that they're doing. I want to say specifically for the first full week of July, that's when we're going to be going out to the campuses together to share the gospel. Also consider going on a mission trip with our church. We will most likely open up a mission trip next Chinese New Year, so next year. And so consider going on a mission trip with us at that time. And lastly, well, I guess second to last, consider praying this prayer. Lord, would you have me be involved specifically as a missionary? Would you have me be involved specifically to North Korea? I want to ask you just to consider praying this prayer. And maybe you feel like you already know the answer. But even if you feel like you already know the answer, perhaps just try praying this prayer. Lord, would you have me be involved in missions? And the last consideration is that in the meantime, whether you are a missionary or a pastor or not, consider how you can bring the gospel to those that are in your life right now. God is working in this world. And so be involved in His kingdom work today, in your workplaces, in your families, in your neighborhoods. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much that you are the mighty God that's working in this world. And Lord, even if people aren't going because we are unfaithful to you, Lord, you are still working powerfully. As we hear stories about the Muslim world, how even they're having dreams about Jesus Christ, Lord, you're working powerfully in this world to see your gospel go forth. And I pray, Father, that you would raise up your workers to go into the harvest field, to continue to share the gospel to those places that need to hear the gospel. Perhaps even from among us here, maybe some of us would also be the ones to go specifically to some of these places around the world. But even if not, Lord, cause us to be involved in what you're doing wherever we are, whatever job we have, whatever family we have or don't have. Lord, may we be involved in what you're doing in this world for your glory, God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.